the third chapter and the 15th verse. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increase in the land. In those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the host of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shall not turn away from me. Surely as a wife treacherously departed from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplication of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers, from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. It's reading quite a bit of the scripture. I'd like to comment just a little bit in talking with you. First of all, in the 15th verse, if you notice, one of the things that he says here is, I will give you pastors. I will give you pastors. Now, there wouldn't be any need for God to give the people pastors because they already have pastors. Isn't that right? When a man is a preacher, he's over a flock. He is a pastor. Now, I wonder how many of you understand what a pastor is. You know, if you had a flock of sheep, or if you had a herd of cattle, you'd turn them out into a pasture. Isn't that right? That's what God is speaking of, a man that God appoints over his people is a pastor. That is, he is full of the things of God. He's a green pastor that they can go into his heart and into his mind and into his life, and they can graze in that pasture. So it is a pastor according to his understanding, according to what God has endowed him with. He is a pastor. He is a place of grazing where the sheep can go in and just eat until they are filled up. And he is a pastor in the sense that he hath rules and regulations so as to envelop the people, so that he fences them in. Not that he fences them in to imprison them, but he fences them in away from the evils of life. Now, he doesn't fence them in away from good or to imprison them, but through the rules and regulations of God, he fences them in with a knowledge and an understanding that he might cut off all the evils of life and show them the boundaries and what is off boundary for them, that they don't go beyond the great boundaries that the minister sets for them. Because the Bible said it's not him speaking, but it's the Heavenly Father. And the Heavenly Father sets bounds. He sets goals. And he has boundary lines. And you can't pass over those boundary lines without grieving him, or without hurting God, without grieving the Holy Spirit. If you pass over those boundaries, then you will lose the protection of God, and God will lose sight of you and lose control of you.
The thing that happened to Adam and Eve, God set certain boundaries. And he said, thou shalt not do this, but thou shalt do this. And he went on to set their boundaries. And God's Spirit motivated them. But when they went beyond their boundaries and got out of reach of God, then they crossed over the boundary line. And when they did that, then God could not get to them, because the Bible said their iniquity separated between them and their God. That great wall of separation came up, and when it came up, they found themselves separated from God and was not able to enjoy the wonderful presence and glory of the blessings of God. You know what happens to us today is that we drift too far off. They've got a song they sang, Drifting Too Far from the Shore. And what we do a lot of times, we get over the boundary line. We get out of our pasture. As the old saying goes, you know, the grass looks greener on the other side. Somebody comes by and they seem to be such a super person and have such a super outstanding way of expressing themselves, until a lot of times people just fall in line and follow them. And then when they follow them, they lead them out of the pastures of God and lead them away from the things of God. And then they get them way out there by themselves, and they can't help themselves anymore. And they find themselves in danger and suffering, and soon find themselves cut off from God. I was thinking about a person that's been away from here for quite a long time. Was doing real good, fasting, seeking God, growing in the knowledge of God. And I had a minister. He wanted to minister for me, a young minister, just a novice, trying to help him in the gospel. Just a novice. Put him up here. He preached one or two sermons and said a few things. And the first news that I knew, that individual had gone off after him and left, and he's never come back anymore. See, we need to abide within the radius of God's pasture. The Lord is not satisfied with many of the pastures of today. He said that he would take away the evil pastures that feed themselves, that don't feed the sheep of God. And he said, I will give you pastures according to my heart. I will give you pastures according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and with understanding. The thing that the church needs today is the knowledge of God and the understanding of God. And the thing that God is trying to do is bring forth some pastors that just don't want to have a hoopie and a shout, a holler, and let that be it. Maybe even a miracle sometimes. They might get one if they get the people's faith up and up. But God is looking for somebody that will give you the knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. You know, it makes it a lot easier just to lay aside the knowledge of God, because you don't have to spend any time in solitude. You don't have to get away in the back room somewhere. You don't have to go off in the forest and shut yourself away. You know, you can just get up, and anything that comes to your mind, you can say it, as long as it's inspirational and you can get the people in what you're doing. So it makes it a lot easier to find a pastor that doesn't have any knowledge or understanding about the things of God. But I tell you, we're living in an hour when God is beginning to let many preachers understand that they're not going to be able to go on. Like the report that I got on one of them the other day, he's driving to take up $100 million. One of the greatest preachers in all the land comes to Atlanta, Georgia, fills up the great auditoriums, but his own secretary that works with him, one of his major workers, said he don't have anything from God, said he's just preaching the same thing over and over just to get money. See, it's so easy to do that, and God is beginning to move many of those ministers and beginning to reveal those ministers and their condition to the people, and beginning to raise up ministers after his own heart. Now, I will give you pastors according to mine own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now, a lot of people don't want knowledge. A lot of people don't want understanding, and you can be sure that they'll never get it. All you've got to do is just not want it, not care about it, not desire it, and you can be sure that you will never get it. You may come to church and you may sit on the benches and you may watch what's going on, and you may be part of what's going on as far as being on the benches and in the presence of the people, but you won't ever get anything from God. Did you know that? You won't ever get anything from God. That kind of shocked a black woman sitting here because her mind was everywhere but desiring the knowledge of God. So that kind of shook her up a little bit. But you can be sure, sister, that you'll never get it with that kind of attitude. The thing that you need to do anyway is humble your heart, because you're not going to get it anyway until you realize that you're nobody and He's everything. Now, I will give you pastors according to mine own heart. I will give you pastors that will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. I will multiply you and increase you, God said, and give you these pastors that will really do something for you. This is the thing that we want. He said in that day, He said, you won't talk about the Ark of the Covenant as far as having to go find the Ark of the Covenant or see the Ark of the Covenant. You won't have to go over here on a certain mountain to worship or go up to some great celebration as they had in the olden days. But He said, these pastors will feed you. These pastors will be after my own heart. All you'll have to do is just assemble yourself together. Come together and just enjoy the great abundance of God's knowledge and God's revelation. The Bible tells us in the last days that the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all of the heavens, shall fill all of the earth. I used to wonder how that could be. I'd say, Lord, I don't see how that could possibly be. How could the knowledge of God fill the sea? How could the knowledge of God fill the heavens? I just don't see how that could be. And one day God spoke to my heart, made me to understand that Him being a spirit, that He is in everything and He is everywhere. And that all He has to do is to turn the stars into a revelation. That is, revelate to the man of God what those stars was placed there for. For the Bible said they were placed there for signs and for seasons. All He has to do is just revelate every fish that's in the water, everything that's in the great ocean, as to what it represents in the spiritual world. All He has to do is just revelate what every tree means and the spiritual perspective that it represents. All He's got to do is just reveal that to the children of God and to the man of God. That way, everywhere we look, we'll see the knowledge of God. When I look at the ocean right now, I can go down to the ocean and I stand there and I watch the ocean tide come rolling in, and I know what it means. I know what it means spiritually. And I see the knowledge of God rolling in. And I look and I see the great big giant species of the ocean. When you go around a place like marine land, I know what those things represent in the spirit. And I just look and I see the knowledge of God fill the waters. The knowledge of God everywhere I see it fill the waters. I lift my head up above toward the stars at night, and I see the great handiwork of God. The Bible said the heavens declare His handiwork, so that we are not left here without a witness. Hallelujah. So then I will give you pastors. These pastors will be according to my heart. And they will feed you knowledge. They will have some kind of knowledge that you don't have. They will have some kind of understanding that you can't get in college and that you can't get in the seminaries. It doesn't say that God will bring pastors and bring ministers out of seminary. It says, I will give you pastors. I will give you pastors. I will give you ministers. Those that are after my heart. Not according to seminary. Not according to study over in a college somewhere. But those that have been with God. You know, in the early church, the statement was made when the people got close to Peter and James and John. The Bible said, these are ignorant men. These men have never been to college. These men have never been tutored in school. We know that these are ignorant men. God wanted them to know that they were ignorant men. That was God's way of letting them know that it was God. So then they said, these are ignorant men. These are fishermen. But the Bible said that they took notice that they had been with God. They had been with God. I will give you pastors according to my heart. These men had been with God, and they had the heart of God, and when they started the preaching, the people knew that there was something different. They had the great Bible scholars of that day. They had the great ancient ones. They had the all of the Sanhedrin council. They had all of the greats of that day. But see, these men were different. When these men came around, they didn't talk like the other man. Even Jesus, when Jesus came around, not coming from seminary, never having gone to college, never knew any schooling. But when he came around, the Bible said, never man spake like this man. Never man spake like this man. He talked so different. Never man spake like this man. Said he speaks as one that's having authority. And when Jesus would tell him something, he didn't talk to him like the scribes and Pharisees and say, now you must do so and so, or God will do such and such. He didn't do that. He say, I say that you'd better do such and such. When Peter came along, Peter said, repent or perish. Commanded him to be baptized in the name of the Lord for the remission of sin. So then when those men came along, they were altogether different. When they spoke to a demon spirit, they just command the demon spirit. And the Bible said it would flee just like that. The other night, I believe I mentioned it to some of you while I was home the other night having a vision. I'd been praying. I got up and I went in my room and I knew that I was in my room. I knew that the layout of the room was just the same. You know, I could tell I was in my room and Danny and Joe over here in their room. I had the door cracked open a little bit that went into the living room about so far to where I could see through it. God made me to know that a demon spirit went into the room where Danny and them was. And it alarmed me. When it went into the room, it alarmed me. And I cried out from my room. I said, the Lord rebuke thee. But nothing didn't happen. Nobody moved. Nothing took place. And the Lord said to me, he said, call him by his name. Said his name is Lobo. I said, the Lord rebuke thee, Lobo. And all of a sudden he ran just as fast as he could, just like it stuck a firebrand to him. And I looked through the door as he went by. All I could see was a pair of hips. Oh, you know, hips stuck way out like this, like a man over like that. That's all I could see. But I mean, they were really moving when we went past that door. Hallelujah. Praise God. God gives to you and I power over all the powers of the enemy. That nothing shall hurt us by any means. And all we have to do is believe. You know, and I got to thinking after that, I thought, well, now, God, that makes good sense. Because, you know, if you go into a room and there's five men sitting there, and you say, hey, you, I want to see you. They want you outside. Nobody would move. But now if you said, hey, Brother Adley, Brother Taylor, then they would move because they would know who you was talking to. Isn't that right? When Jesus went into the land of the Gadarenes and when Legion ran down at him, filled with devils, Jesus said, what's your name? Said, Legion, for we are many. Then Jesus commanded him to leave. Isn't that right? I'm thankful tonight because God can give us the knowledge and understanding of his Son that will benefit us in the wonderful things of God. Hallelujah. It makes us free from all the evils of this world, and we can have the infilling of the Spirit. We can have the presence of the Holy Spirit with us, and we can have a brotherhood that links together in such a way that nothing can penetrate it. It's so wonderful to know that God has given us a promise that he will give us pastors with understanding and with knowledge that's after his own heart. The knowledge of the Lord shall fill the heavens. I want the knowledge of God. The Bible said we understand that God created the world by his knowledge. By his knowledge, he spoke the world into existence by faith. By the knowledge of God. And Solomon tells us that the knowledge of God is the greatest thing that we can get. Follow after wisdom. Call it your kinswoman. Follow after. The Bible teaches it's the greatest thing that you can get a hold of. To get the wisdom of God is to have the charity of Christ within your heart. And to be able to understand. Solomon prayed, God, give us understanding. Give us understanding. And because of that understanding, he was able to build the house of God just the way that God wanted it to be built. Stone upon stone, he built it just exactly the way that God wanted it built. So then, God, give us pastors. Give us pastors with knowledge of God. Give us pastors after your own heart, God. Give us pastors of understanding so that the people will understand and so that the people can come together as a unit and the ministers can come together in a great unit to love one another and to work together. We need that, brethren. We need to come together. As ministers, we need to stand up for God. I was just thinking, the other day, somebody was heard on the radio, and they were really coming against us concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ. But it wasn't but just a few days, and that same person was put down, down, down. You say, how do you know? Because by the words of their own testimony, they told me so. God put them down. It's like a great minister we had to come here from the Brother Branham following that had a ministry through Canada and all over the United States, one of the big three of the entire operation of Brother Branham since his decease, came here and apologized and said, Brother Pike, we spoke against you, and said, since that time, our whole ministry's gone down. Said, the doors is closed everywhere. And our minister's completely gone. I asked him a few questions just to be sure I didn't misunderstand what he was saying. He said, it's so. He said, it's gone everywhere. Said, the doors are closed. Now, God will stand up for his people. God will stand up for the truth. If you stand up for God, God will stand up for you. But brothers and sisters, if we don't have a backbone and stand up for God, God isn't going to stand up for us. If you can't stand for righteousness, if you can't stand for holiness, and if you can't stand for the good things of God, God isn't going to stand for you. If you're just going to be wishy-washy, and one day you're going to be in this frame of mind, and tomorrow you're going to be in that frame of mind, tomorrow you're going to be in another frame of mind, one day you plan to do this, and the next day you plan to do that, and you're just split up like splinters, like a bunch of scrambled eggs in a plate. You don't know where you're going, you don't know what you're doing, and you don't know why you're doing it. But I'll tell you, when we get to the place to where we take God's word, we know what God wants. That's God's will. And then we follow God's word, we know exactly where we're going. The Bible said a wise man looketh well to his going. And we know just exactly where we're going. If we take the word of God, there is no wondering about it. We don't have to wonder what's out there in the future for us. As a Christian, I don't have to stand here and wonder what the future holds. The word of God tells me what the future holds. If I'm not going to go by the word of God, I'm just like some gambler. Is that right? I'm like some gambler. I'm just gambling with life. I don't know what it holds. I don't know where it's going, where it's leading to. But see, if I take the word of God, I've got a positive assurance. Blessed assurance, the song said. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. See, I know by the word of God where I'm going. I know exactly what the Lord is saying. I know exactly what's laying out there for me. Because the Bible said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I know that I'm going to be rich in God and know that I'm not going to have any sorrow because Christ said so. I know that all things are going to work together for my good because Jesus said so. I believe that. I believe that for many years and it's worked, and I still believe it today. So then, I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I know why that I'm doing it. I know what's laying ahead for me because God's word said so. I like Paul's testimony. When Paul gave his testimony, he testified like this. He said, from henceforth there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me. And not only for me, but everyone, he said, that will do the will of God. He said, that crown of righteousness is laid up for them. Now that is a positive testimony. There was no wavering about it. He didn't say that if I do this and if I do that. He didn't say perhaps if I don't stumble. He said, there is laid up for me. And everyone, hallelujah, everyone that will do the will of God, he said, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for them. He said, you'll say no more the Ark of the Covenant here. You'll look no more back there saying, Lord, we'll do this or we'll do such and such with weeping and supplication. We'll go no more to the mountains. But he said, the Lord is our salvation. Jesus is my hope. I don't have to look to a certain mountain. I don't have to look to a certain source. I don't have to go into any certain place. Jesus is my source. I just call upon the name of Jesus. I call upon the Holy Spirit. And I ask God to endow me with his blessings, endow me with his richness. just to fill me with His Holy Spirit, because I know that God is with me. The Bible said, as I have covenanted with you, my spirit remaineth among you. I know that God is with me. I know that I've got the understanding of God, the knowledge of God. I've got the wisdom of God. He's placed it within my heart. He's placed it at my fingertips. And all I've got to do is just press forward. I just press forward day after day after day. I just press forward and God blesses me. God makes a way for me. When I have a financial block or I have a financial hindrance and it looks like I can't plow through, I go to my closet in prayer, or I get on my knees in prayer and I say, Jesus, I've got to have some help. And I say, a lot of times, you know, my mind may wander off just like anybody's. The devil will try to make it wander off and say, now you're in a financial tight. Oh, you've got a great problem. You're in great stress, physical problems, whatever. And now you're going to have to turn to this source. Or you're going to have to look to this source. And you know what I do? I say, get thee behind me, Satan. I don't want to even think like that. I'm not looking to any source. I'm not looking to any person. I'm looking to God. God promised and I believe it. Hallelujah. I tell God, I say, now God, we've got an operation here for Jesus, the Savior. And Father, if it isn't for Jesus, then we need to close it down. If I've got to look to some financial source or to the strength of mankind, then God, we've got to close it down because I refuse to do it. I refuse to do it. I say, I want to be like Jesus. I want to trust in Jesus. I want to know that little Bethlehem and the operation here is of Jesus Christ. Now you say, how can you know that, Brother Pike? By trusting in faith. If I trust in faith, I know that it's of God, because if the need isn't met, then I know that there's something wrong. If God meets my need by faith, then I know that it's of God. David said, I know that the Lord favors me because my enemies don't triumph over me. I know that God favors me because my enemies are made to be at peace with me. Hallelujah. So then I just push on and press on, going on with Jesus all the time, trusting in God. When I have a need, I just steal away and pray. And I say, Lord, endow me with the knowledge of God. Endow me with the understanding of God. And I say, Lord, I don't want to trust anybody. Lord, I don't want to look to any source. Jesus, I want to pray until in my heart I have a confidence that will loom out in my mind, in my spirit, that makes me to believe that you will meet my needs. And I stay there until something starts rising. And something says, yes, I will meet your needs. And something jumps up in my heart, and I find myself solely, confidently trusting in God. I know that sounds strange to you, and you think, a lot of you think, oh, Brother Pike, that couldn't be, but so help me God, my hand be raised to heaven, it's the truth. That you can come to the place to where you learn to go away with God, and you'll just say, God, you are my exceeding great reward. God, you're going to meet my needs. God, you're going to help me. Lord, when I'm sick, you're going to stand by me and you're going to heal me, God. And when I have a financial problem, you're going to share with me, Jesus. You're going to look after me. You're going to take care of me. When there's things that I don't understand, you're going to give me the answer for them, Lord Jesus. And you actually get to where you trust in God. You come to that place to where you really trust in Jesus. You find yourself actually believing that God is going to be your friend and God is going to help you. I wonder now to you that are listening to my voice, I wonder how many of you really tonight trust God. Do you really trust God? Have you really come to the place to where you believe that Jesus will give you a meal if you're hungry? Are you really at the place to where you believe that Jesus will supply your financial needs so that you can pay your just and honest debts? Do you really believe that in your heart? Do you? Have you come to the place to where you really believe that God loves you and that God will stand with you and God will keep you and that God will cause your enemies to be at peace with you? Do you really believe that? I do. I do. So help me God, I do. I believe it. I believe that you'll stand with me. God said, I will raise up pastors according to mine own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Do you really desire the knowledge of God tonight? Do you? Do you really desire the understanding of God tonight? Do you have a longing to get away in the back room somewhere with God just to listen it at your Bible records or to read the Bible or to get down and pray or just to meditate on what God has spoken to your heart? Do you have a longing just to separate yourself from everybody just to get away with God just to see what God will say to you and how you feel about it? Do you have that kind of feeling? If you don't, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you. You say, well, Brother Pike, I have this feeling that I got to go, go, go. That's no good. That's no good. The man has got the feeling he's got to go, go. He is no more. He is no more than some hippie running up and down the road. No more. You find the prophets of old, they might spend 3 months, like John Lifetime, but they may spend 3 months inside of a wilderness, or they may have that day. And then, just for one short hour, come forth and say, thus saith the Lord. But brethren, what they said had the power of God behind it. What they said was the authority of Christ, because they'd been with God. They know the will of God. But to go and go and go and go somewhere all the time is no good. It's like a great man. Just recently, I was talking to him. He said that he was over in a certain city somewhere having a great revival. He said, Brother Pike, one of our leading evangelists, he said, I was having a big crowd of people. And he said, after service, I walked down in the audience. Most of them had gone, and one man was standing there that I saw. I said, I walked over to him, and I said to him, said, well, I think we're fixing to have a breakthrough. He said, the man looked back at me and said, what do you, said, I don't know so much about that. And he said, what do you mean? He said, it really disturbed me. He said, what do you mean you don't know so much about that? He said, well, said, God sent me here to tell you that you don't have in your life what you had 10 years ago when he sent me to your meeting. Said, that's my ministry. Said, God sends me from place to place doing just that. And the great minister said, it really hurt my pride. He said, it just tore me up. He said, but I got a hold of myself. And said, from what he told me, he accepted what the man said. And the man told him, said, what you need to do is to get back in line with God. You need to get back with the Spirit of God. You need to get to following Christ again. And the minister asked me, said, what do you think? Whereas he's been to me for advice a number of times, I said, the last 2 or 3 visions that I had of him, every one of them shows that you're erring from the Spirit, going after money and getting in the realms of money. I said, erring from the Spirit. And he told me, he said, if it takes it, I'm ready to close down my entire operation, which is worldwide, with some of the biggest ministers. He said, I'm ready to completely close it down and get back to preaching old time holiness just the way that it is. Hallelujah. I love to see God do things. Hallelujah. Praise God. I get excited about it. When you talk about old time holiness, I know that's the way. I know that's the way. Hallelujah. Don't you love him tonight? Knowing that Christ has given us the understanding and give us the knowledge of Jesus. Now where we can go the way God tells us to go. Hallelujah. You just can't help but get excited, can you? How great and how wonderful it is to be a Christian. I'm so glad tonight I feel his lovely presence. I feel his Spirit. I come up here to talk with you, and I feel the love of God, and I feel the Spirit of God. Some of us say, oh, Brother Pike, I don't think you really do. I think you say those things to convince us and to encourage us. I'm trying to encourage you, but don't you ever forget, I feel the presence of God. I feel the Holy Ghost down in my heart, in my body, in my soul. I feel him. Glory to God, it ain't no make-believe. He's here. Brother Taylor sings, he's here, and he is here. All right, I want you to stand with me. We could just go on and go on and say things tonight. But I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And I know that some of you love Jesus. And I know that if we will do the things that Jesus tells us to do, that we will become great and mighty people in God. We'll find ourselves enriched by His holy presence. We'll find ourselves growing greater and mightier than the great trees of the forest, in the great forests of California and around the world. Growing taller than trees and growing strong and growing big in God. You know, the Bible tells us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge. Isn't that right? I will give you pastors that will give you understanding and knowledge, or teach you understanding and knowledge. Because He wants us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now may God bless you. May He richly bless you. It's our prayer, because I know that He wants to. I know that He will, if you'll follow Him. Let's continue to pray for the little baby here, Denny's little child, that Satan has fought so hard. Let's just have a word of prayer right now, can we? Precious, wonderful Father of Heaven, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You for Your blessings. Heal that little child. Touch that little child. God, not only that little child tonight, that we feel You healing right now, doing something for right now. Hallelujah. Heal the baby. Oh, God. We feel You doing it, Jesus. Lord, and we ask You to heal the audience. Father, heal, oh, God, everyone, Lord, that can hear our voice. Father, everyone, Jesus, that offers their faith to Thee. Heal, God, by this great Spirit that I feel right now. Heal and make well. Forgive sins. Great and mighty God of Heaven, hear us for Your glory, in the lovely name of Your darling Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? We sang that chorus, to be like Jesus. I don't know of anything I'd rather do than to be like Jesus. Can we sing it together? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him. From Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger. On earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to not right with Jesus tonight, you haven't given your heart to God as of yet, now is the best time that I know to surrender your heart to God. My brother telling the vision tonight about the mark of the beast sitting in, it lets us know that things are very close. And if there ever was a time when you need to make peace with God, it's now. If you don't have peace with God, then we invite you to make peace with God. Give you opportunity to make peace with God. I want us to lift our hands one more time, and I'm going to pray with you. If you've not given your heart to God, then I ask of you to give your heart to God, because Jesus wants to save you. Jesus wants to do something for you. And all you got to do is give your heart to God, and God will do something special. for you. Hallelujah. Father of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I ask, oh God, that you bless us. I ask tonight that you heal, and I ask tonight that you save. And Father, if there's anyone tonight, dear God, that's here, or anywhere, Lord, that can hear my voice, Father, that hasn't surrendered themselves to Christ, that hasn't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that hasn't called upon the name of your darling Son, Jesus, I pray, oh God, that right now, wherever they may be, that they'll call upon the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh God, as I feel your spirit, Lord, as the mighty flow of Calvary comes down from heaven, may thy spirit, Lord, reach out and heal and save and forgive. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to bow your heads with me.